You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com today. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, joined here in the Dog Bowl in Berea by the two prodigious scribes of clevelandbrowns.com, Mr. Kevin Jones and Mr. Andrew Gribble. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
What's up?
What is up? So here we are right now, Browns getting down to 75. We know how we've gotten to 79. Four cuts still out there. Reports are that Ishmaili Kitchen will be one of those final four and that Kerry Spear, not out there practice, will be one of those final four as well. But let's not talk about the speculation. Let's talk about what we know so far. Any surprises to you with what has happened?
Well, and I think if you were looking at the roster, it just shows that you're not necessarily ranking these guys 1 through 90 probably when you're getting rid of them and getting down to that 75. You got to fill position groups because I think Shane Wynn and Ishmaili Kitchen both, as Mike Pettine said yesterday about Shane Wynn, has an NFL skill set and can land somewhere. And I think Ishmaili Kitchen, you know, we were talking about in the break, he's a guy that could fit somewhere on a team that has a need at that nose position. But clearly the Browns brought in Danny Shelton. They've seen some good things from Phil Taylor. And then you got a guy like Jamie Meter just playing out of his mind in the preseason. So that's kind of what happened. And as Pettine said, some guys get caught up in the numbers. And that's what we've seen so far.
But I think a month ago, if we said Ish Kitchen would be gone at this point, it would have been a little bit surprising because he came in last year, was effective against the run. So to Gribble's point, Jamie Meter has come on that strongly. And I think Shane Wynn might have hung around another week if it not had been for Travis Benjamin's punt return, if they were still kind of evaluating that position. Again, he fielded a punt return on the 2-yard line. So no surprises. It's the 75. These guys, it is what it is. Today's September 1st. That's what it is.
Exactly. And that's the point that I was going to make. And I thought that, you know, all of us most likely, if we really put our, you know, our nose down to it, we could have probably came up with a similar situation of who's going to get released or put on different lists to get down to that 75. The next cut is obviously going to be much more difficult. So going into Thursday night's game, just highlight a couple players that you think are full-on bubble guys that can either play their way onto this roster or practice squad or play their way off.
Well, I look at defense. I think a player like Dylan Wynn, who's had a great preseason, has been very active, and probably if this were last year, I think he'd be a guy we could say for sure he's probably going to be on the team. But the defensive line has got a lot of players playing pretty well right now. You know, they've had to move him around a little bit at outside linebacker because of the injuries at that position, and you wonder now the decision making that's going to go in because of Nate Orchard hasn't practiced in a few days. Barkevious Mingo, you still don't know if he's going to be back for week one, so that could play a big part in the decisions at that position. So I think Dylan Wynn has made plays when he's been asked to. So I think this is going to be the biggest opportunity for him.
I mean, I'll say Vince Maley here. I mean, you're looking at Terrell Pryor, you're looking at Vince Maley, and if you're going to keep Marlon Moore, can you keep all three of those guys? I think someone's got to be the odd man out there.
Between Maley, Pryor, and Marlon Moore?
That's what I would think. So if Maley goes out and has 7 catches for 80 yards, you're like, okay, we're feeling good about this guy. If he has another drop, he's missing assignments, you don't want to cut a 4th-round pick, but you also want to put the best 53 men out on the field. So you don't want to admit a mistake in the draft, but you don't want this guy to hurt you in the regular season either, especially if you have a plan for Terrell Pryor, which Pettine kind of insinuated that he's a long-term project.
Now, while it's a 4th-round pick, we did have 12 picks. And you figure Telfer and, you know, Ifo are going to hit
the NFI.
In some cases, you have to be happy with all your other picks because Charles Gayne, as a 6th-round pick, is outplaying.
He's going to make it. Malcolm Johnson's going to make it.
Orchard's going to make it. Irving.
I mean, Bibbs, Shelton, to me, is a nearing
Duke.
A lock.
Duke, yeah. So, yeah. I meant, is it really that much of a black eye for your 4th-round pick who's, you know, at wide receiver with 1 year of football at Washington State, which was highly productive, but had, you know, hands problems there as well?
I won't call it a black eye, but receiver is a position where this team needs to get younger at. You
sure.
Look at Taylor Gabriel is really the only bona fide young guy who's gone out and made plays. So it would be disappointing, but I think it would also show something that Ray Farmer is willing to say, you know what, he didn't live up to the expectations.
I didn't get it right this time, sure.
Yeah, and cut your losses now and either go forward with Pryor or scour the waiver wire, Nathan, and pick up a guy like we picked up Marlon Moore last year at the end, and he's come in and been productive.
The tough thing about it is when you bring in Pryor, you draft Maley, and then you also sign Bowen Hartline, they're kind of handcuffed at that wide receiver position and what they really can do. Because the truth is, ideally, you know, this isn't a team. And listen, I'm as the biggest Browns optimist maybe that there is, but this is not a
you
team that right now you're saying is contending for a Super Bowl. So you would want Maley as a guy you drafted because you believe he can develop into an NFL player. Terrell Pryor's here because you can believe he can develop into an NFL player. But to keep both of them, Moore's going to make it as a specialist. Travis is going to make it. That's eight receivers.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a lot.
For a team who's saying we're going to rely on the running game, too.
Now, Pryor's going to be, I would bet, if he makes a team, would be down. But how many can you have Pryor and Maley both occupying seven of those down spots on your active roster week after week after week?
And here's the thing with Maley is, like, you're wondering, you don't want to wait and worry about you missed when the light would come on for him. Because as we saw, Charles Gaines, the first couple weeks of training camp, was struggling out there. Then the light comes on, he responds, and becomes the player that you expected to bring in. I mean, what if Maley, it's a week from now where something really clicks and turns? You didn't want to give up on him too early. I think that's something that has to be considered with him. And again, it's just the opportunities he haven't been there. And at the same time, all these unheralded guys have just really stood out at wide receiver position too.
Yeah, and those guys are looking, I think, in the practice squad competition. You know, now it's down to really Lenz and Darius Jennings. Probably one of those guys will end up on the practice squad for this team.
What about Phil Taylor, Nathan? I mean, has he shown you enough? Has he been a guy that you're trusting that can go in the regular season healthy and be able to play?
I just wrote an article, I believe it was a huge article about his return to the field and what a long odyssey it's been. I think when you look at it, you know, he's making $5.5 million that's guaranteed. So I think that's something that says keep Phil Taylor. But you have right now, it seems, seven defensive linemen, not counting Phil Taylor, counting Meter alongside of, you know, your draft picks and Starks. So Shelton, Starks, Cooper, then you've got John Hughes, you've got Armani Bryant,
Dez.
You've got Dez Bryant, you've got, and did I say John Hughes?
Yes.
So that's six. And then seven would be Jamie Meter. So are you getting into eight, and not to mention Billy Wynn, who's younger and cheaper.
Dylan Wynn, too.
Dylan Wynn. So a lot of options on that D-line.
I mean,
the thing you got to remember, though, last year they kept, what was it, 12 DBs? Is this team now in a position to keep fewer than 12, maybe like a 10 DBs on the team?
Are they, though? Because
I think you keep 11 if you're counting Batamosi.
I mean, the injuries there concern me because they're not serious, but they're nagging enough where you need depth there. Our D-line has been so healthy the whole camp.
Yeah, but right now, even if let's say that you didn't have a corner, let's say that Pierre and Gaines aren't ready for week one, you still have Hayden, Tremont, Kaywan, so you have your starters. You got Gilbert, and you got Batamosi, who has at least gotten significant reps. Do you want to have to play those guys? No. But and this team, for the most part, when they go dime, goes three safeties, three corners. So they would still be sliding Poyer in a lot of those
or maybe
dime,
even
or
Campbell,
maybe even
now.
Campbell, who's played very well. So I think they're okay there, but I think it's 11 in the defensive backfield.
The one question I have for you guys is, I just made mention, as other teams are going to be making cuts, what position could you see us go out and get some vet depth? If the right guy is cut with the right experience that will be able to come here on a veteran minimum contract, maybe 1 year, to add depth, at what position would you see us seek that out without going with a really developmental young player?
It has to be running back. I mean, you just haven't seen enough from Crow and West this preseason and training camp. Now, obviously, it's different running the ball in OTAs, and that's where they kind of flourish, but if there's someone, it looks like Fred Jackson's not coming here, but there's someone like that, a surprise cut in the camp, I think you have to consider bringing that person in because you need results. This offense is going to have trouble clicking if you're averaging 3.2 yards per carry, which the Browns have done since week eight last season. So to me, running back is I'm not hitting the panic button, but my hand is hovering over that button right now. You need to get results out of that position.
See, I look at the defensive side of the ball, and this is simply because of the injury situation to be outside linebacker. I think with the up-in-the-air status in Nate Orchard, Barkevius Mingo, you're probably not going to see him on Thursday, and you don't know if he's going to be absolutely ready for week one. You might just have to add a body to that position because you're already kind of light there anyways when you're healthy. Not a huge loaded position. So I could see some kind of outside linebacker being on the market and you having to grab a guy for a week or two.
Yeah, what about offensive line? You know, I think, you know, running backs, I personally believe in this preseason, at least up to this point, would have looked a little bit better had they had a little bit more space. And with Alex Mack, you know, going down last year and depth being an issue, yes, we drafted Cam Irving, but then beyond Cam Irving, I feel there's a drop-off.
Well, and I think that's the one thing that came out over the last few days is Michael Bowie's season being over. Not that he'd played well, but I think he was brought here to be on this team. that means that that next offensive line spot is wide open,
right,
between the, you know, Kareem Barton, Vincent Painter. You've got Darian Miller. You've got McDonald at the right tackle, or who's been working at left tackle. And you also have Earl Adson. So there are a lot of guys competing for a spot, and maybe the seventh or eighth lineman's not here right now.
Right.
But is he, whoever that guy is, whether he's brought in or it's Andrew McDonald, is he going to change the alteration of the season? I mean, it's
the difference before was that you could withstand two injuries on the offensive line, and you would hope that by that time Bowie would knock the rust off and get back to his form. I mean, he started eight games in the National Football League for the Seahawks the year they won the Super Bowl and played well. It was the top 10 graded run blocking right tackle in the NFL. So he actually has played. Right now, if you have two injuries on the offensive line, you know Cam Irving's going in, and then after that, you have no clue.
And that's my whole point, is go get a guy that has played. So that's where, do you take that guy who's got maybe two or three years of spot duty as a backup behind a good offensive line somewhere in the National Football League over a developmental guy
that's a good call.
On our roster? Yeah,
I think I support that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, because, and then like what happened last year, I mean, you needed a solid seventh offensive lineman because of what happened last year.
Right.
It just wasn't there.
Right.
So you've shored up the sixth spot. And now, I guess, if you're not pleased with what you've seen from those other guys, you would expect. I mean, this is a team last year that made four moves after the final 53 was released. So it's not out of their nature to do that. I don't think it would be at the level of four this year. I don't think you'd have to do it this year, but I think there could be a couple.
But I think, as opposed to perhaps cutting a good, talented player, like whether it ends up being ultimately a Phil Taylor or Billy Winn from the defensive line, maybe you can trade them for a backup offensive lineman to somebody and shore it up that way. That's one scenario. Another scenario I wouldn't mind seeing is, now if Fred Jackson does go to Seattle, I've been a Christian Michael fan for a long time, second-round pick out of Texas A&M. He's a guy that would be young that could bring some juice to this backfield as well.
He absolutely floored D Ford a couple weeks ago on a pass block. So I think coaches would like to see that. Yeah, I mean, again, there's people were wondering, you know, a couple weeks ago when why it was so hard to – locate candidates for the quarterback jobs, because all these guys are on teams right now. I think over this next few days, there's just the market is going to be so much more saturated with guys, not only a quarterback, running back, things like that. So it's going to be a different market.
When you go
days.
From 90 to 53, that's 37 guys on 32 teams that all of a sudden are
900 guys are about to be free agents.
Yeah. Right, you got to figure, but then you got to add 10, so it's actually 63. Because I would think,
but that's a certain segment. Only certain people are eligible for that. So that's only your young type guys.
Right, but I meant, I would say 8 out of our 10 practice squad guys are going to be
from here
that have been here.
I would agree with that.
Another guy I think that needs to be a lock for the roster, and I don't know if he is, but Sean Drone at this point, because look at what he did the first couple of days of training camp. He was the running back that was standing out, and look what your guys have done now. They haven't done anything.
And so Pettine has constantly brought his name up and given reference to where he's at.
I think he's
so
going to make
this
team.
Who doesn't make it then if he makes it? Because there's no way they're carrying five
running
backs.
I think then Phil Taylor and Billy Winn would both be gone.
But they could be gone even with four running backs.
Right.
Because then you want Bibbs on there too, so that's four tight ends, unless you're cutting Hauser, which would be three tight ends. But you don't know now. Do you need Thad Lewis week one? Do you need to have three quarterbacks on the roster week one?
Or what about Bibbs over Malcolm Johnson here? Can he play that hybrid role? There's a lot of excruciating decisions on the table for this team.
Which is good. It's much more difficult this year than it was last year. I think it'll be tough for Sean Drone.
It's just the first cuts, it seemed like we're struggling to think of a couple guys for this Thursday game, and then you just think of it, was it 22 more guys? I would love to see these meetings that happen with making those decisions.
And part of the thing that's tough, you know, we talked when we went through it and we came in here off air and we're talking about, well, was this backup offensive lineman out there? Well, if you're not playing your starting offensive line really against the Bears, you need all these guys.
Exactly.
You don't have it. I mean, you've got Kareem Barton, you've got Earl Ladson, you've got Andrew McDonald, you've got Darian Miller, Eric Olson, and Vincent Painter. So if you're not playing a single starting on the O-line, all six of those guys need to be here, and they need to play. So I don't think they're going to be among the cuts down to 75.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is have to send a guy that wasn't in his jersey in the first
into
half
the
into
locker room to go put
the jersey
on.
I mean, that's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, right now when you look at it, the position where you could maybe lose a guy or two that's left is certainly the defensive line. I think you have enough guys to play on the defensive line. You know, I don't know if Luke Lundy, given his concussion, if he can be cut right now. He'd have to be waived injured and get some type of an injury settlement, I would imagine. So, you know, you're not cutting any of the four tight ends right now. To me, it has to come from the defensive line, because you're not cutting anybody on the outside linebackers either, because there's only five of them.
I don't think
roster,
you can cut Landon Feichter yet either, too. To me, he's a practice squad guy. He's came in here and made plays.
he needs to play. You're going to need, you know, maybe Joe Rankin would be a guy that you could move on from at this point. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they get to those final two. I think it's going to be tough, and that's why I think it might be, like Ishmael Kitchen, if he is in fact released, a bigger name than you might think, because it just makes sense given where they're strong
and
right
now. And
you
want to give a guy a chance to land somewhere else. So, again, we're struggling over these, and then it's just going to get even more crazy these next few days.
It certainly is. I think some of it will be – it'll be easier to get in some senses from the 75-53 because, for example, three of those linemen we know will be gone, or four or five of those linemen, then you'll bring them back to practice squad. You know, but there it is going to be interesting. I think Bibbs, Hausler are both going to play a lot on Thursday night, and I think that is going to – they're competing
head-to-head. Their performance.
Terrence West needs to play a lot too. He does. He needs reps. He really needs to see visions and holes and not cut everything out to the outside. Terrence West should play minimum of the first quarter of that game, in my opinion.
T. West is going to get some reps. It's a shame you're not going to have Duke Johnson. Really, you're going to have seen nothing from him going into week one.
Is this going to hamper what he does this season?
Not this season. I think
first quarter of the season, I bet.
Yeah, I would say first quarter of the season. I think it does because of the confidence of Flip in him, the trust that needs to be developed, and what situations he can win. We don't know that. Everything's perspective. You love what he did in shorts, you know, throughout the spring, but we have seen very little of him in pads when it actually really matters.
And the thing is, with Pryor, what are we going to see in this game? Because we know he's going to be on a pitch count, a snap count. They're not just going to throw him out there for
an entire game. It's still a question in my mind that he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to play, and I still think he's going to make the team.
If he does, do you force things his way? Do you try to get him super involved? I mean, what's the strategy there with a guy like that?
I would think so. I thought similarly the way, you know, Dwayne Bowe was used early in the game. Right. You know, you want to create scenarios for him to win. And I think that's all you can do as a coordinator, and, you know, without, you know, whispering in the ear of Thad Lewis and say, hey, force the ball here.
I think you do.
Because it's a practice game, right?
Not necessarily. I think within the scheme, you want to see him win in your scheme just as he would in the regular season. Otherwise, he's proving that he can't play wide receiver in the National Football League.
My point is, I think you come out and you play him in a short burst, two series, whatever it is, and game plan him to be the primary target on the majority of the routes he's out there. And see, by the way, if he can win against people who most likely are not playing in the National Football League.
Yeah. Yeah, if he can't do that, if he can't get off press, or they're knocking the balls out and they're climbing, you know, climbing.
No,
up his
I don't. Back. I don't think they're going to let him play because they want to keep him. Because if you see him struggle here, then you're going to cut him. I think that they're going to give him more time than that. I just think he's a long-term project, Nathan. As you tell me, he's projected to be as a 53-man guy, not necessarily the best 53rd person on September 5th, but down the line.
Sure.
That's why I think you just continue to stash him.
Would you guys be worried, because, and this is, we got to take a break after this, but would you guys be worried about Terrell Pryor making this team, switching from quarterback to receiver, if, for example, let's say he doesn't play at all in the preseason, and the message when guys who have been here playing and working and going don't make this team? Do you worry about that in this locker room?
I don't know if you worry about it within the locker room. It might rub some guys who don't make the roster the wrong way. You know, the guys that performed in preseason. Okay, exactly. So I don't know.
But then they're going to go other places and smack talk your franchise, and the Browns will still look bad in people's eyes.
No, it's concerning.
Is there a lot of that?
There is. Of course. When you go from one place to the next, you're talking about everything they did wrong. The same way that I come from a culture of winning, I talk about a lot of things that we did right.
Okay, so when you left San Diego, though, you weren't like, that was bad. But I would imagine when you went from San Francisco to Green Bay,
I was like, Singletary this, and they're doing this wrong, and that's why they're losing every year. That was like the hiccup in my career. I go from, you know, five out of six playoff teams to San Francisco. We go 8-8, which was their best record in a decade, and then I go win a Super Bowl. So who do you think I'm talking smack about?
The 49ers.
Nathan, I understand the point. I think you make a great point there about Terrell Pryor and the culture of everything, but I'll say this about him. Bringing him in made Travis Benjamin and Brian Hartline better. It made them prove it every day that they really wanted to be playmakers on this team. I think without Pryor, do they have the preseason and training camp?
I think Brian Hartline does. He's a pro, and I think Travis Benjamin knew. Travis Benjamin was a guy, when we first sat down and looked at this, that we thought might be on the outside in, and he has come out and just been a beast, it's great to see.
And I think Pryor's handled this well, and I think he's earned respect with how he's handled it. You hear some of the veteran leaders talk so highly of him, so maybe it wouldn't rub them the wrong way. Maybe if it were a guy that was acting like in the wrong way. You know, so it's like – So I think if what those players are saying is completely accurate with how he's been, then I think they would understand because they see the potential in a player like that.
All right, the Browns website, the Browns mobile app, under these two, Andrew Gribble, Kevin Jones, will have you covered on all the latest. The roster cuts will be released officially at 4 p.m., or at least they have to be in by 4 p.m. Maybe they'll come out a little bit sooner than that, but they've got to be in for sure by 4 o'clock today. So keep it tuned there to ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for all the latest. Check out all the great work you guys continue to put out, good stuff. Anything you want to highlight that you put out recently on the web, and there was a great one about the preseason stats, what they mean, et cetera. And I know, Gribbs, you're constantly churning things out.
Yeah, no, I just posted a story about Travis Benjamin. He actually worked with the Bears punter in the offseason field and punts, so little connection for this preseason game.
There it is.
Everything I write is gold, so no, just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
Kevin Jones, ladies and gentlemen. KJ, it was such a strong appearance up until that point. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone
about himself.
Lines. Yes, 216-578-0850, and we're going to hear from, I believe, Travis Benjamin as well. So a lot to talk about here when we come back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.